Dit is Hour of Power. Van harte welkom bij deze uitzending. En er komen drie bijzondere uitzendingen aan. En dan gaat het om Henri Nouwen. 13 jaar geleden sprak hij in de Crystal Cathedral over een buitengewoon belangrijk thema. U bent geliefd. En op vele verzoek herhalen wij deze uitzendingen in de komende weken. Henri Nouwen, een in Nederland wat onbekende priester die wereldwijd geweldig werk heeft gedaan, 40 boeken heeft geschreven en voor velen tot op de dag van vandaag een inspiratiebron is. Zo ook in de Crystal Cathedral. Over zijn leven, hij overleed 10 jaar geleden, praten we met zijn broer Paul Nouwen, bekend als oud-hoofddirecteur van de ANWB. En als gast in de Crystal Cathedral, Luan Mitchell. Haar man, die een groot bedrijf had gesticht, overleed aan een ernstige ziekte. En zij zet het bedrijf voort. En dat doet ze op een fantastische manier. En veel muziek natuurlijk. Wij gaan snel naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, welcome to the Hour of Power with Robert Schuller, celebrating 31 years as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Reach out and touch someone close to you. Give them a blessing. God loves you and so do I. My name is Robert Schuller the first. That's Robert Schuller the second. We're so happy you came to join us in worship this morning. So this is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh God, the birds are singing. The sky is blossoming with the light of the morning sun. And we are gathered with a marvelous collection of human beings. We are one body of believers, positive thinkers, persons who've opened our hearts to you, Jesus Christ. And it's so good to be with people of faith, hope, and love. So bless this hour as we sing a new song to the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. The psalmist shares with us some wonderful words that encourage and inspire us. Hear these words. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes be glad. May God continue to work in your life and in your heart as you rejoice and praise him for all things.
Germany's great composer Felix Mendelssohn wrote a lot of choral music, and much of it was based on the theme of patience, something we all need in our Christian life, patience. Patience in waiting for the Lord to answer our prayers. In his oratorio, Elijah, based on the life of the prophet, he wrote, "Oh, rest in the Lord, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him, and he will bring you your heart's desires." He went on to say, "They that shall endure to the end will be saved." We recently had an Hour of Power guest who was completely cured of multiple sclerosis through prayer. But she made the major point that it took 17 years of praying, 17 years of faith and hope and trust in the Lord. Our anthem by Mendelssohn this morning is just such an anthem, saying, "I waited for the Lord. And he inclined unto me," meaning he heard my prayer with favor. "He heard my complaint," meaning my distress, my troubles, my challenges, my sorrows. Oh, blessed are they that hope and that trust in the Lord.
Oh, you very much, Cathedral Choir. It's beautiful. My guest this morning is someone very, very special. Some of you remember a few years ago I had a guest. His name is Fred Mitchell. From the Mitchell's Gourmet Food Company, Incorporated in Canada. And he had received a heart and lung transplant, which he talked about. Fred passed away very unexpectedly in 1998 following a routine checkup. Not only did his wife, Luann, have to deal with her own grief and the grief of their three children, she had to go back home and deal with corporate restructuring of her husband's family business. And that was something else. After a long struggle, Luann succeeded in being elected chairperson of the board of directors of Mitchell's Gourmet Foods, in which she plans to carry on Fred's family vision of building it into one of Canada's leading value-added food processing companies. I have met with her. I am impressed with her. And her love for Christ and her children and the company business is something else. Please welcome with me the CEO of Mitchell's Gourmet Foods, Luann Mitchell.
Hi, Luann.
Well, what happened to Fred? How did he die?
Reverend Schuller, we were at Stanford Hospital. And on a Friday evening, Fred was taken to receive what was considered a very routine test. After I was in the waiting room for an exorbitantly long time, I came to realize that something wasn't quite right. And after a very serious struggle, Fred lost his life. They thought he would lose his life in 3 hours. But I waited patiently with him all night long, and it wasn't until 7 o'clock in the morning on the nose that Fred passed away. The doctor at Stanford, I have a great deal of respect for Olive, and Dr. James Theodore, after Fred, made a statement which I think best sums it up. He said, "Luann, just as Fred baffled people in his life, so he has baffled us in his passing."
That's something.
Yeah, and so I feel certainly how Fred lived his life is what I focus on. And I think all of us don't know how that moment will come when we make our transition. But we do know what we can do in this life, and that is the lesson I have taken from that.
You went back home, and you had a corporation.
Yes.
You decided not to give it up and not to sell it.
Yes.
How did you That was a struggle. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I certainly can. At the time when I returned home, I have to tell you, as the wife of a corporate executive, they don't say, "Well, hey, you know, he has this wife that, and she's maybe the gal for the job to take this on." In fact, what happened was all the vultures began circling, and people don't have a lot of patience and a lot of empathy. In a situation like ours, where we're the third largest food company in Canada, and they look at the situation like this and see opportunity, but not from the perspective of perhaps another family member coming in, i.e. Fred's wife. So when the vultures began circling, it was a very difficult process, and I knew that there was a blueprint that Fred had in mind. And we fought very, very hard to make sure that that family business was there, and it was there with the moral stature of the fine gentleman that I married named Fred Mitchell. And I went to our corporate executives and spoke with them directly about the blueprint that Fred had for the company. And as his life partner, a part of that blueprint was myself becoming chairperson of the board and accelerating our own people into new postings in our executive team. Our corporate president, Stuart Irvin, has worked with my husband Fred for 33 years previous to this, and his brother Roger ran one of our facilities, which was located in Vancouver, Canada. An exceptional family as well. We are a family business in the way of saying family meaning all persons involved, not just the father and inherent blood members of that family. So our executive team, I think, were relieved that I was not looking to sell. And certainly I could have had a real nice chunk of change in my pocket, but that was not why we built the company, and that was not the vision Fred had, and I as his life partner either. So our children and I had a long talk. We had a family meeting and our executive team. And I really feel strongly, and I'm going to use a word here that doesn't get used often, but Jesus Christ prayed with noble thoughts.
Yes.
Thoughts of forgiveness, thoughts of love, thoughts of healing. And all of that I needed. All of that our company members needed. And there was a great deal of fear. And faith casts out all fear. And that faith, if you do not misplace it, you keep it in the Lord. I knew if I walked with God, all of our people would walk alongside, and we have. And we have come together, and I work with nobility. And I like to think that if I act with that nobility and I keep my faith in the Lord, it has been nothing but a great success story for us.
Wow.
Reverend Shula, I pray for the day that we see magazines going forward with the 10 noblest companies in America. The 10 noblest CEOs. I think that all of the leaders in the Bible, if we were to study what they asked for, it wasn't to be a contestant on who wants to be a millionaire. No, they asked for noble things. And that's the kind of nobility I want to teach my children about. When they marry one day, when they choose a life partner, I want them to have one like they had in their father that I was blessed with. And I work with nobility. I couldn't be more proud and more privileged to have my job. I go to work happy every day. I'm delighted to work with the people I work with.
Wow, this is so inspiring to me, and I think to all corporate people. Tell me, you made a decision to expand the company. Biggest expansion in history, is that right? You want to tell us about that?
Yes, I would be honored to. When my husband passed away, we were just on the verge of becoming a public company. We were literally just being in an entry phase into the stock market. And one of the most major decisions that we had to make and that I fought hard for was to reverse that process. That was not changing Fred's blueprint, not by a long stretch. It was because of a change in the industry itself that occurred after his death. And that was our supply. Our supply chain had changed, and there was a future forecast that just, in my estimation, was not the wisest. And in speaking with our shareholders and in speaking with our other corporate executives, we decided to take a new direction. And we instead decided to do a strategic alliance with another family company. And now we are going gangbusters on this fantastic expansion, and we have scored scores of new contracts across the United States and Canada that we plan to service and service the best they've ever had. And we'll be hiring more people and growing, which is what Fred wanted.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Where do you get such strong and beautiful faith? It's rooted in the Bible and in Jesus Christ, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you know what I've come to understand is when you're in the middle of a storm, the best lightning rod in the world God gave to us, and it's called your backbone. You know? And if you get your spine and you stand straight and you walk with God and you keep your faith firmly rooted in the Lord, there's no storm that will hit you. That lightning rod will protect you. And I have been protected. And I am ever so grateful. I am grateful every day. As you said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. Every day I rejoice. And I feel so privileged and honored to be given this opportunity. And I know that the Lord is with me. I know that I walk with God. Because I stay focused on asking for noble things in my prayers.
It's wonderful. Your use of the word nobility. That's, I think, I can relate to that in this, but you still watch our power up there?
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. The children and I are, we're firmly focused, and we're
good.
With you in spirit, and
good.
We are there.
Listen,
You inspire me and you inspire all of us to put our trust in the Lord and all will be well. So thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thank you.
Een inspirerend gezongen Come Now It's Time to Worship. Inspirerend en motiverend en aangrijpend. Dat waren de bijdragen van priester Henri Nouwe een aantal jaren geleden in de Crystal Cathedral. En de beelden die jij straks gaat zien zijn ontroerend. Want in die immense cathedral staat een eenvoudige predikant die bij een flap over, wat onhandig, met een veelstift, de diepste dingen vertelt die ons allen raken. Je bent geliefd. God houdt van je. En dat op een magistrale manier doet. Henri Nouwe, van Nederlandse afkomst, overleed 10 jaar geleden. En daarmee hebben we een heel bijzonder iemand verloren. Maar gelukkig is hier vanmorgen Paul Nouwe. Paul, je bent de broer van Henri. Wat is jouw eerste gedachte als je terugdenkt aan jouw broer daar in die immense kathedraal?
Het was een zeer bewogen priester-prediker die zich helemaal gaf in zijn gedachten om de mensen te bemoedigen, om ze God te laten vinden en om ze te zeggen, hoe nederig je ook bent, rijk of arm, zwart of wit, in de gevangenis of ziek, er is één persoon die van je houdt. En zonder liefde kunnen we niet leven. En die boodschap bracht hij daar. En hij sprong als het ware bij iedere mens in de huiskamer door de televisie heen.
Ja. Je broer is 10 jaar geleden overleden. Maar wat is zijn nalatenschap? Hoe wordt er nog altijd op hem gereageerd?
Ja, dat moet ik natuurlijk goed vertalen. Omdat het mijn broer is die 10 jaar geleden overleed. En dat was een grote emotie. Hij was toen 64 jaar op weg naar Rusland voor de verfilming van een van zijn allerbeste boeken, in het Nederlands vertaald, Eindelijk Thuis. En op de weg naar Rusland, ja, is hij een overstap gemaakt in Nederland en daar is hij overleden. eigenlijk een duif, een Nederlandse duif, die toch even naar zijn geboorteland terugkeerde. Want hij was al lang weg in Amerika en Canada. En dat beleef ik natuurlijk zeer bewogen. Zeker nu in het jaar dat 10 jaar geleden is. En ook de Universiteit van Toronto hem eind mei op een groot symposium met mensen uit de hele wereld herdacht heeft. Dus ik beleef het ook subjectief. Maar objectief ben ik onder de indruk dat hij met zijn 40 boeken zoveel over de hele wereld voor mensen betekend heeft. En zelfs mensen heb ik ontmoet die door de boeken en zijn gedachten hun levenskoers hebben gewijzigd.
Jij ook?
Ik moet zeggen dat ik naarmate ik ouder word, steeds meer de inhoud van zijn boeken, zijn vele boeken, begrijp. Met name zijn kernvraag. Het gaat er niet om of wij God kunnen vinden. Want wij Nederlanders discussiëren. Bestaat God wel? Hoe kan dat allemaal gebeuren in de wereld als God bestaat? Dat God die oorlogen en al die ellende toelaat? Nee, hij draait het om. En hij zegt, leef je zodanig dat God jou wel kan vinden. Stel je open voor God. Laat je God in je leven. En daar kunnen we met z'n allen over nadenken in ons jachtige leven. Of we ons eigenlijk wel openstellen. Of God die naar ons zoekt, ons wel kan vinden. Bijvoorbeeld in de stilte, in gebed.
Mag ik aan je vragen hoe jij dat dan doet? Je bent heel druk, je bent 70-plusser. Hoofddirecteur van de AWB geweest, dat bedrijf opgebouwd. Zit nog in allerlei organisaties. Maar hoe vind jij rust?
Ik ontdek dat als er enige rust in je leven komt en je ook rustpunten neemt, zoals bijvoorbeeld Hour of Power zondagmorgen, dat dan je voelt, ik kom nader tot God. Hij kan mij vinden.
Dat is een diepe gedachte. Paul, wat is voor jou de mooiste herinnering aan je broer?
Hoe hij, toen hij het hoogleraarschap en zijn roem in Amerika en Zuid-Amerika losliet, en ineens de roeping hernieuwd kreeg om zo'n 10 jaar in 1986 Harvard in Boston, de beroemde universiteit, verliet als geroepene door God om zijn leven ten dienste te stellen, wat God zou zeggen, de minste der mijnen, de gehandicapten. De mensen die niet vrij konden bewegen, die dubbel gehandicapt waren in de geest en met het lichaam. En die beloved children, die geliefde kinderen van God, die wou hij aandacht geven. En zo ging hij wonen in Richmond Hill in Canada, in zo'n centrum, de Ark, tussen de gehandicapten, als gelijkwaardige mensen aan ons, die het geluk hebben niet gehandicapt te zijn. En hoe hij daarmee omging, daar vond hij eigenlijk dat hij ook zijn liefde kwijt kon.
Ik heb dat persoonlijk ook mogen meemaken in de ARC-gemeenschap in Canada. Hoe jouw broer, een dubbel gehandicapte jongen, Adam heette die. Die hij eigenlijk als een zoon adopteerde. Een jongen die niet spreken kon, die geen dankjewel zei, die gevoed moest worden, aangekleed moest worden, die eigenlijk niets kon, zwaar dubbel gehandicapt. Ja. En hij was daar zo trots op als iemand maar kon zijn op een eigen kind.
Dat klopt.
Hoe doe je dat dan zelf met jouw broer als inspirator?
Het geestelijk leven, de kerk, de Bijbel als basis, steeds verder tot mij doordringt. En dus ook de parabel van de verloren zoon, waaraan hij zijn beste boek geschreven heeft, eindelijk thuis. Dan voel ik, ja, ik ben dan de jaloerse zoon. Dan ben ik de zoon die zegt tegen mijn omgeving en vriendjes, ik heb een fout gemaakt, kan je het me vergeven? En dan hoop ik weer op die vergeving van de vader. En uiteindelijk is de vader, zoals Rembrandt hem schildert, wellicht God zelf, die alle mensen omarmt en vergeeft. En zijn zoon, Jezus Christus, daarvoor naar de wereld gezonden heeft, ter verlossing van de mensen. En dan gaat alles voor je leven.
We gaan zo meteen even naar dat schilderij kijken. Dat heb ik hier in huis hangen. Ik wil het toch wel even aan jou laten zien. Nou, Hier hangt hij. Prachtige schilderij, een kopie van wat Rembrandt ooit schilderde. Thuiskomst van de verloren zoon. Boek, wat jij zei, wat Henry geschreven heeft daarover, is zijn meest inspirerende boek. En ik ben erg blij dat Hour of Power dat boek gaat uitgeven, heeft uitgegeven inmiddels. En Paul, ik heb het eer om jou het eerste exemplaar te mogen overhandigen van het door Hour of Power uitgegeven boek Eindelijk Thuis. Het best gelezen, meest bekende boek van jouw broer. En jij kent het. En ik hoop dat je het fijn vindt om dit mee naar huis te nemen.
Hartelijk dank.
Graag gedaan. En dit boek, Eindelijk Thuis, we zijn, zoals ik zei, al heel blij dat we als Hour of Power dit prachtige boek hebben mogen uitgeven, is voor iedereen beschikbaar. En ik zou zeggen, lees het. Voor mezelf is het naast de Bijbel het meest belangrijke boek wat ik ken. Het inspireert, het laat je nadenken over de diepste zin van het leven. Waarom kwam Jezus naar deze aarde? En wat betekent het om verloren zoon te zijn? Hoe je dat boek kunt verkrijgen, laten we graag zien. Thank you.
really grateful to be with you here this morning and to share my faith with you. And to the core of that faith belongs my conviction that you and that I and that we are the beloved daughters and sons of God. I might as well say that from the very beginning. We are the beloved sons and daughters of God. And one of the enormous spiritual tasks we have is to claim that and to live a life based on that knowledge. And that's not very easy. In fact, most of us fail constantly to claim the truths of who we are. I took this this flip chart here to give you a little idea about how we often live our lives. If I draw a little line here, and I say, that's my life. My little chronology. You could also say, my little clock time. Well, I was born in 1932. And I wonder what I should put here. Maybe, 2010. It's not so bad. But that's really all I have. And now you may say, well, listen, I came a little later. So you came here. And you may say, oh, I have a few more years here. But it doesn't make very, very much difference. It's still a small little life that you have. A tiny little life that goes by very, very fast. Like that. And the question for you and for me is, who are we? Because that's the question that keeps us going. Because all during our lives, we try to answer that question, who am I? And the first answer we live with is, I am what I do. And that's very real. You know, when I do good things and when I have a little success in life, I feel good about myself. But when I fail, then I start getting a little low or depressed. And when I'm getting older, I might say I cannot do much, but look at the trophies. Look, I did a lot of good things in my life. Or look at my books, or look at my music I wrote, or look at my children, I educated, or look, I did something good. Or we might say, I am what other people say about me. What others say. You know, that's very, very powerful, what people say about you. In fact, that sometimes is most important. If people speak well about you, you can walk around quite freely. But when somebody starts talking behind your back, or when somebody starts saying negative things about you, you suddenly might feel very, very sad. You know, and I remember speaking to thousands of people, and people say, that was wonderful what you said. But there was one man who said, hey, he says, I thought it was a lot of nonsense. And that's the only man I remembered. It seems as if when somebody talks against me or against you, that can cut deep into your heart. And when somebody in the morning said something about you that's really hurtful, somebody calls you stupid or so, It can stay with you the whole day and ruin your mood. And you might also say, I am what I have. I am what I have. I'm a Dutch person. I have kind parents. I have a good education. I have a good health. I have a lot of things. But as soon as I'm losing any of it, if a family member dies, or if my health goes, or if I lose the property I might have, then I can slip into inner darkness. And what I want you to hear for a moment, that quite often a lot of your and my energy goes into, I am what I do, I am what people say about me, I am what I have. And you know, when that's the case, our life quickly becomes like this. Because when people speak well about me, and when I have a lot of things, and when I do good things, I'm quite up, I'm excited. But when I start losing, when suddenly I find out that I cannot do anything anymore, when suddenly I find out that people talk against me, when finally I discover that I lose my friends, I might slip into depression and be very low. And before you realize it, you and I are on a zigzag. Because when we are up, when these things are all right, but we are down when we start losing out. And most of our work, mental work then, is to just stay above the line. And we call that surviving. We want to survive, survive. We want to hold on to our good name, hold on to some good product, hold on to our property. But we know somewhere that on the end there is a word that says you're going to die after all. And you know, when you live this kind of life with all these ups and downs, the end is death. And when you are dead, you're dead. Nobody talks about you anymore. You don't have anything anymore. You can't do anything anymore. You lose it all. And that little life of you and of mine ends up into nothing. And what I want to say to you today is that this whole thing is wrong. That is not who you are, and that is not who I am. That's what the demon said to Jesus when he went to the desert. He says, turn these stones into bread and show you can do something. Jump from the temple and let people catch you so they speak well about you. Kneel in front of me and then I will give you a lot of possessions. Then you are loved because you do something, people speak well about you, and you have something, and everybody's going to love you. And Jesus says, that's a lie. That's the greatest lie that makes you and me enter into relationships of violence and destruction. Because I know who I am. I know who I am. Because before the Spirit sent me to be tempted, the Spirit came upon me and says, you are the beloved child. You are my beloved son. On you, my favor rests. That's who you are. That's who I am. And Jesus heard that voice. You are my beloved. On you, my favor rests. And it was that voice that he clung to as he lived his life. And people praised him, and people rejected him, and people said Hosanna, and people crucified him. But Jesus held on to the truth. Whatever happens, I am the beloved of God. And that is who I am. And that allows me to live in a world that keeps rejecting me, or praising me, or laughing at me, or spitting on me. I am the beloved. Not because people say I'm great, but because I am the beloved even before I was born. And dear friends, if there's anything, I want you to hear this morning, is that what is said of Jesus is said of you. You have to hear that you are the beloved daughter and son of God. And to hear it, not here, but right here. To hear it so that your whole life can be turned around. And listen to the scriptures. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have written your name in the palm of my hand from all eternity. I have molded you in the depths of the earth and knitted you together in your mother's womb. I love you. I embrace you. You are mine and I'm yours. And you belong to me. You have to hear that. Because if you can hear that voice that speaks to you from all eternity to all eternity, your life will become more and more the life of the beloved, because that's who you are. And then you start discovering that all that you do here is nurtured from the knowledge that you are the beloved. That's who you are. And when you start believing in this, that circle of knowledge will grow, become bigger and bigger and bigger until it cuts right into your daily life. You will still have rejections, and you will still have praise, and you will still have losses, but you live no longer as a person searching for his or her identity, but you will live it as the beloved. You will love your pain, and you will live your anguish, and you will live your successes, and you will live your failures as the one who knows who you are. And I want to give you a little word here. The voice that calls you the beloved is the voice of the first love. First love. John writes, love one another because God has loved you first. And the great struggle, and it's not easy, I'm not talking about something easy, is to claim that first love. You were loved before your father and your mother and your brother and your sister and your teachers loved you. The people who love us not always love us well. The people who care for us also wound us And you might know from your own experience that those who often are closest to you, like your father, your mother, your children, your brother, your teachers, your churches, are also the one who might hurt you most. And how to live that? How to live the truth that in this world, love and wounds are never separated. We can only live it when we always reclaim that first love. So that we can forgive those who love us poorly, but also so that we can recognize in the love that we do receive a hint or a glimpse of that first love that is real. Could you hold on to that? I mean, every time you have a temptation to become bitter, to become jealous, to lash out, to feel rejected, can you go back and say, no, I am the beloved daughter of God. And even though I am rejected, that rejection should become for me a way to reclaim the truth. It should be like a pruning that helps me to claim more fully and deeply the truth of my belovedness. And if I can hold on to that and live in the world, then I can be free to love other people without expecting them to give me all that my heart desires. Because God has created you and me with a heart that only God's love can satisfy. And every other love will be partial, will be real but limited, will be painful. And if we are willing to let the pain not make us bitter, but prune us to give us a deeper sense of our belovedness, then we can be free as Jesus and walk on this world and proclaim God's first love wherever we go.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in, in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Geweldige toespraak van Henry Nouwen. God houdt van ons niet om wat we doen, maar om wie we zijn. Hij kent ons hart. Heel veel mensen zijn op zoek naar de zin van het leven. En ik hoop dat deze uitzending en de komende twee uitzendingen je zullen helpen om de weg te vinden naar wat Jezus zegt. Ik ben de weg, de waarheid en het leven. Want daar gaat het om. Ik kom nog even terug op het boek wat door Hour of Power is uitgegeven. Van het eerste exemplaar in deze uitzending is gepresenteerd. Eindelijk thuis. We laten graag nog een keer zien hoe je dat boek kunt bestellen. En nogmaals, de wens dat velen het zullen lezen. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. En voor nu heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. En voor uw en jouw reacties.